start Yud Bey's Pasuk Chafei. We just said that Rechavam, after he had messed up royally and had given in to his desires and told the Jews that he was going to fight them, and he was basically going to tax them for whatever they wanted, you know, whatever he wanted and whatever it was. So Rehoboam ben Nevat started his rebellion, and he was accepted by all the Jews. All the Jews went with him. All that Rehoboam had left, all that Rehoboam had left, was Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shevet Levi, who will slowly but surely go to him. But they accepted him completely. Now, Rehoboam wanted to start a war. He wanted to fight against Rehoboam, and he wanted to wage war against the Israelites. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't go. Shemaiah was the person who went in. Don't go against Rehoboam. I wanted this kingdom to be, and Rehoboam listened. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. He accepted the sense that he was told by a Navi not to fight. He really wanted to fight. He wanted to get the kingdom back. He knew how much money he was losing, and he accepted it. He said, okay, fine. He must have realized something was wrong. He must have realized that he had already said things about his father, Shlomo, that he shouldn't have said. He realized what he had done wrong, and he wanted to fail. So, for the next couple years, Rehoboam's going to be calm. He's not going to do anything crazy, but he is going to prepare himself for an eventual war. So, Pasuk Chafei, by even Rehoboam is Shechem Behar Ephraim. See, Rehoboam built up the city of Shechem to be his capital on the mountains of Ephraim. By Yeshua, but he lived there. He ate to Misham, even as Penuel. Then he left there, and he built up the city of Penuel, meaning he re-chose a new capital. Hey, what about Penuel? It could be because this was more strategic. Maybe it was up on a hill a little bit more than anything else. I don't know. But that's the idea of what it was supposed to be. He wanted to rebuild it to make it ready for upcoming wars. So Rehoboam, right, also built fortified cities. He built up Beis Lechem, Etam, Tekoa, Beitzur, Sochel, Adulam, Gas, Meresha, Tzif, Adorayim, Lachish, Azeka, Tzora, Ayalon, that's right, and Chevron. He strengthened them and he put up the fortresses. That's what it says in Divrei Yom. So Rehoboam was busy at this time. It says in Pasuk Vav, by Yom Yerovam Belibo, he said to his heart, Ata Toshuvam Amlach LeBeis David. Oyvei, now the kingdom's going to go back to Beis David. So what was he worried about? What was he saying, now the kingdom's going to go back to Beis David? It was around the time of the Chag, and he was worried people were getting ready to do Aliyah L'Regel. What he was worried about when it came to Aliyah L'Regel is that if they go up to the Beis HaMikdash during the Regel, and I go up with them, which I normally would, then Rehoboam is going to be the one who is the only person who's able to sit in the Azara. The king is allowed to sit in the Azara, not the Kohen Gadol, not any of the Kohanim. The king can sit in the Azara. I will never be able to sit in the Azara. It's only Malchus Beis David. I can't sit in the Azara itself. So he said, I don't want the people to go and see that Rehoboam is able to sit while I'm not, because that means that he is greater than me. So he said, now the kingdom's going to go back to Beis David. He had no faith in the Nebuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which said that he was going to be the one in charge. No faith that that actually was going to happen. He was worried about what was going to be. He was afraid that they were going to call him a rebel and kill him when that happened. And some say it was even the end of the Shemitah year. It was the end of the Shemitah year. That means what's coming up? In the eighth year by Sukkot. What happens right after Sukkot? The mitzvah of Hakel. Who reads from the Sefer Torah? Said Yerubim, Rehoboam's going to read from the Sefer Torah. I'm not going to. He said, how can I let that happen? I can't let that be. There's no way I can let that happen. So he decided he's not going to do it. So what does it say? Pasuk Chav Zayin. In Yalo Amaz Der Lasso Zvachim Beis Hashem. If the people go up and they give Zvachim, they give Korbanos in the house of Hashem Yerushalayim. The Shav Leib Amaz Del Adonayim or Rehoboam Melech Yehuda. Their hearts will go back to their master, to Rehoboam the king of Yehuda, Baraguni, and they'll kill me, the Shavu, Rehoboam Melech Yehuda, and they're all going to return to Rehoboam the king of Yehuda. Now we're going to have to talk about this because this decision is crazy. Pasuk Chav Katz. Vayibot HaMelech. So the king made a plan. Vayashnei Eglei Zov. He made two calves of gold. Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to them, Rav Lecham Yalos Yerushalayim. It's enough for you guys going up to Yerushalayim. No longer do I want you guys going up to Yerushalayim. Yinei Elohecha Yisrael. Behold, here are your gods, O Israel, Asher Aluchem Eretz Mitzrayim, that brought you out from the land of Mitzrayim. It's not a coincidence that those are the exact words, Ela Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Aluchem Eretz Mitzrayim, the exact words that are used by the Egel Azov. Exactly the same words. So he said, Vayosem as a Echad, well, I should say not exactly, Hinei and Ela. Vayosem as a Echad Beis El, he put one of them in Beis El, which is all the way up in Shevet Dan. Beis El was all the way down by Yerushalayim, which is the southernmost point of Binyamin. And the other one he put all the way up in Dan. This became a sin. And they would go in front of the one of them, they would go all the way to Dan to go worship that idol. And then he made a little area that was for altars. And then he made Kohanim from the people that were not Levium. He made his own priests that would be in charge that wouldn't be from Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi started running away. So here's what happened. Yeruvim knew that there would be an unbelievable opposition if he just got up one day. And this is right after he became king, remember. And especially because he was living with Shishak, the king of Mitzrayim, and he had run away to other lands. He knew that there was going to be tremendous opposition if he gets up and he says, it's time to worship Avodah Zarah. He knew nobody would accept it. He knew it was going to happen. So what did he do? He got everyone together and he sat down a righteous person right next to a wicked person. A tzaddik right next to a rasha, and a tzaddik next to a rasha, etc. all the way through. He said, will you all sign to do everything that I say for you to do? And they all said, yes. He said, I want to be king. They said, yes. He said, will you do everything I tell you then? They said, yes. He said, will you even worship idols? So they said, God forbid. He said, heck no, we're not going to worship idols. To which the evil person said to the tzaddik, what, you think you'll love him? The man this smart, this great, you think he's really going to tell us to worship idols? He's not telling us to worship idols. He's telling us, even if I would tell you to do crazy things, will you follow me? That's what he's telling us to do. So it never means he'll never make us worship idols. So Yeruvim said, so sign a contract. Sign a contract that even if I would tell you to worship idols, that you'll go ahead and you'll follow me no matter what. So they signed the contract, thinking that it was not literal, but figurative. Yeah, just figurative. And that was that. So they signed it, they put their name on it. And know who else signed it? Achya HaShiloni. The same Achya HaShiloni that was there before, even he signed it. So whenever Yeruvim went ahead, and everybody said to him, what is this? He said, look, Yeruvim is trying to test us. See? Achya HaShiloni signed it. And if Achya HaShiloni signed it, that's how some of these things get by. Look, Rabbi Yashu signed it. once again, Rabbi Yashu's signature is right there. But that's Achya HaShiloni, and that's where it goes over here. Chas v'shalom, I shouldn't say Rabbi Yashu's name, compared to what Yeruvim did. But not like that. Some say that he made a party and he got everyone drunk. And he started bringing out the golden calves and said, remember the original Eagle Azov? And they said, yeah. He said, was that Avodah Zarah? And they said, yeah. He told them, no, it wasn't Avodah Zarah. And he explained to them a pshat in the Torah that we wouldn't understand it for the life of us. And he explained how it's not really Avodah Zarah. Instead, it was used as something else. So what was God so angry about? Some people didn't know and they worshipped it as Avodah Zarah. But as long as you don't worship it as Avodah Zarah, it's the right thing to do. Because otherwise, how could Aaron have done it? Yeruvim gave him huge arguments and the people were convinced. They were drunk. And they were convinced. They understood it. They said, okay, there is a chokmah. The next day when they woke up, right, they got out of their drunken stupor. They were like, wait, what do we decide? They said, don't you remember Yeruvim darshaned in front of us? They're like, oh yeah. But they didn't want to admit that they were drunk. So nobody gave in and everybody admitted to each other that it was just like that. But it got worse and worse and worse. People did start treating them as a Avodah Zarah mamish. And it was absolutely terrible. There's machlokes if Yeruvim was always evil in the heart. I personally cannot understand that. There's no way God would have made him king if he actually was evil in the heart. It seems like he would have been pure and righteous, and that would have been inside his heart itself. It's possible that God foresaw his downfall. That's possible. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what was going to happen, but still allowed him to have the bechira to choose, and said, you can still choose wisely, and you can still have the right thing. Unfortunately, maybe you don't want to blame this on anyone, but not somebody who was started as king.
Yeah, but he wasn't started as king.
Meaning, Yeruvim started a whole kingdom, and he was told by Achya Shiloni to become king. If a Navi makes you a king, you'd think that he wouldn't be so evil. Yeah.
But we were just saying that he was living with Shishak even before he was king. He was hanging out with the wrong people even before he was king. So I mean, it's difficult.
Isn't this the father-in-law of Shlomo Melech or the brother-in-law?
No, it wasn't. It was a new.
We said, but or the brother-in-law. It was somebody. So his line was. That's why he was there.
Yeah, but it was also stated in the Navi that he wasn't a friend of Israel.
No, that's 100% true. You're 100% right about that. And you're 100% right. There's no question that if the people really thought about it, they'd know Yeruvim was off. They'd know he was off. There's two other pshatim that you can give for this over here. One of them is brilliant. The other one is pretty good, but this one is brilliant. This one is pretty good. This isn't the brilliant one. Pretty good one is that Yeruvim saw that Shlomo Melech had made his own kruvin in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Everybody knew about it. Two huge golden kruvim. They weren't golden. They were really made of molten metal, and they were surrounded by gold, but he put them inside the Beis Mikdash. He said, you know what the pshat is? And he came up with the whole pshat on why you need kruvim. And then he pointed at the Kisei HaKavod. And he said, in the Kisei HaKavod, there's four pictures. There's the Kisei HaKavod has the kruvim, they have the adam, they have the aryeh, and they have the nesher. Okay, that's what they're supposed to be up there. But originally, the nesher is an eagle. Right? So originally, there were no kruvim. Originally, there was a shore. That's what was up there. And that's what Bnei Yisrael copied when they made the eagle as oven. In Midbar, they made a shore. That was what was on there. They changed it to the kruv. That was because of the eagle as oven originally. He said, we want to be metakin the eagle as oven. So we're going to bring back the shore and take away the kruv. Like Shlomo Melech made two kruvim, he made two eagle as oven to be their counterparts and to show that we don't want the kruv, we want the shore back. That shore of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really crazy. Now, if you want to really go deep into it, Yosef HaTzadik versus Yehuda. Yehuda stood for Rachamim, Yosef HaTzadik stood for Midas HaDin. Yosef HaTzadik was always one or the other, either all the way up on top, the king of the world, or he's all the way down in the bottom and in the pit and in jail. He was never in the middle. There was never like a normal moment in Yosef HaTzadik's life. He's always on top or on the bottom, always on top and the bottom. That's Midas HaDin. You're on top and the bottom, on top and the bottom. Yerubim and Avot stood for the shore. Shore is Midas HaDin. Kruv has the face of a child. That's Midas HaRachamim. And that was the difference between the two. The Yehuda had their signs to Midas HaRachamim. Yosef had Yosef HaTzadik. In other words, the Malkus of Yerubim was the Midas of the shore. Okay.
How could Yerubim become Malkus from Yosef? Is that what we're saying he's from Yosef?
From Ephraim, yeah. That's where he's from.
Okay.
Yeah. The two calves, by the way, were not idols, according to this other pshat. This is the awesome pshat. They were monuments. They were the official royal symbols, because they stood for a fine. If anybody looks up at Yesharim, you see those four pictures that are up there. One of them is the one-horned ox. That was the symbol of a fine that they had on their flag. That was their dagger. There's a unicorn also.
And a weird
that was their aim. Yeah, there is a weird sword together with the River Tomb, and there's also Stonehenge. I'm not saying that all the things up there are normal. I'm just saying there happens to be that. He said there is an axe up there. That axe was supposed to be a symbol. And therefore he put it at the extreme ends of his territory to show this is the Malchus of Yosef. It's sort of like the Statue of Liberty. Right? When you come in, you know what land you're in. That's what he put them up for. Unfortunately, people considered them idols, and that was the problem.
The question is, how can Yerubim become king at all? Because he's not from David.
We just Achia Shimoni from last week.
Oh, okay.
Remember? So we did say that there was David HaMelech did the same thing. He had Jochin and Boaz. You remember, he made two pillars that were outside that were supposed to represent them. So either way, that's what he was supposed to do, and that's what he was trying to do over here. What else do we have over here? Oh, he's saying Hinei. He said Hinei. He didn't say Eilu Elohech Yisrael, like by the Eilu Azov did. Eilu Elohech Yisrael pointing to these. He said Hinei, behold, your God is of Israel. It's not an Eilu Azov. He didn't say something like that, but that's that. The Levium, they were gone. The Levium did not want to participate. They said to Yerubim, we don't want to be involved in something like this. This is not Judaism. To which Yerubim and Nevat said, so bye. Get out of here. We'll see you later. And he made his own tribe, Ephraim, the Kohanim, the priests for the Eglei Zov. And it went further and further down, however down you wanted to say. That's what ended up happening over there. All right, it's good stuff. Pazik, Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel, so we can finish the parak. V'yasi Yerubim Chog, Bachodesh Shmini. Yerubim made his own holiday in the eighth month. Now what's the eighth month, guys? Mar Cheshvan. Nisan is the first month, right?
Oh, yeah.
The eighth month is Mar Cheshvan. Chamisha also Yom LeChodesh on the 15th day of Cheshvan. Kechog Asher Yehuda, like Sukkot, it was in Yehuda. You know, like on Pesach, you have Pesach Sheni. It was just today. They had Sukkot Sheni. It's Sukkot Sheni. They made their own. By Yahweh Mizbeach, and he brought it up on the Mizbeach, and he went up into the altar. Baruch Hashem, this didn't stick. By the way, can you imagine having Sukkot a month later? In the cold in Chicago, we want them. Yahweh Mizbeach came also to this hill. It was the Be'achlo Agolam Asher Asa. He made a rule that everybody had to sacrifice to the Agolam that were in Beis El. The head of Beis El was Kohani Abamos Asher Asa, and he put in Beis El the priests of those Bamos that he had made. Yahweh Mizbeach Asher Asa to Beis El. Kohani Asher Asa Yom Bechodesh Hashmini Bechodesh Asher Badam Milibo. In that month that he had made up in his heart, Vayaschog Livnei Yisrael Yahweh Mizbeach Lacked here. He made that as a holiday for Bnei Yisrael, and he went up on the Mizbeach and started doing things l'haktir. Chazal tell us that he not only changed Not only did he change sukkahs, he changed Shabbos and other holidays as well. Shabbos ended up becoming another day of the week. Who knows, Friday, Sunday, I have absolutely no idea. But he completely changed the entire calendar to make everything completely different from the way it was. That's what he ended up doing. He wanted to make sure that people would think that this was the real religion. He made people forget what it was like to be in Yehuda to the point where they said, those Jews, they're not the real Jews. We're the real Jews because we keep the real holidays. They keep these fake holidays called Sukkot and Pesach and everything like that. They don't keep the real ones. And he fed upon the Ami Aratzim that were around there, the people that weren't there. The Tzadikim were never fooled. The Nevi'im were never fooled. See, when Nevi'im said, what's going on over here? But he had them suppressed. He had general guards and whoever it was taking care of them, saying, don't say a thing. Don't say anything whatsoever. He might have even pretended to be a Nabi. In a way, which said, I had a nevuah, and this is what we're supposed to do. And since Yerovam HaNevat was so well known, and since he already became a melech, and since he had already been out there, perhaps they had been fooled into thinking he's not a Nafi Sheker.
Right.
He's already well known in everything. And thus, since he's around here, maybe it's there. The only person who really knew about everything was Achi Ashilon. And we're going to see what happens because of that. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Parak Yud Gimel Vinei Yisraelim Bami Yehuda. There was a man of God who came from Yehuda B'Dvar Hashem through the word of God obeys El to Beis El. Yeravam Ominam Mizbeach Lachdir. Yeravam was standing in the Mizbeach ready to burn incense. This man was Edo. Edo the Navi. Okay, we don't see him very often. Vayikon Mizbeach B'Dvar Hashem. He called out to the Mizbeach in the word of Hashem. From Mizbeach, Mizbeach. This is Edo. He called out Mizbeach, Mizbeach. One in Dun and one in Beis El. Koamar Hashem. This is what God says. He made Bain Nolad LeBeis David, Yoshiyahu Shmo. There would be a child born to the house of David. His name is Yoshia. Remember Yoshia? Yoshia is going to be the one who was born years and years and years later, literally 200 years after this happens. That's when Yoshia is going to be born. He's going to slaughter upon you the priests of these altars who burn incense upon you, and the bones of human beings will be burnt upon you. I don't know if that's literal. Yoshia, according to the Pesukim that we have, never did such a thing. But it could be that it's more figurative, that he's saying it's as if something like that happened. Yoshia was a tremendous tzaddik. As we'll see later on, he's going to be a tremendous guy.
One of the worst kings ever.
Not at all. Yerubim, right, because he was still a king, therefore had to be treated with respect. And therefore he did not call out directly to Yerubim himself and say, Yerubim, you're doing something wrong. He called out to the Mizbeach, Mizbeach. As if he's talking to the Mizbeach, and Yerubim had to be here. He'd be there just in time. It could be it was even like me to Knei Gemita. You criticize Shlomo Melech to his face, Yerubim. I'm not going to criticize you to your face. I'm not going to do that. Yes, Nechamia, what are you going to say?
Never mind.
Okay. Pazuk Gimel. Nezamiyam Mahu Mofes Lamor. He put on that day a proof, saying, Zamel Vishdibar Hashem. This is the proof that God has really said this. He named his back Mikra, the Nishbach Hadesh and Asher Alav. And his back will split. And the ashes that are upon it are going to spill down to the ground. Now, I would assume, I'm not positive, that his back was made of stone. Stone doesn't split. Stone doesn't tear. There's no way for something like that to happen. That's impossible. The fact that it would split shows that it's a true symbol that this kingdom will be torn away from Yerubim. And that's what it's going to be a sign as. Yeah. Right after Yerubim's son. We're going to see very, very soon. The ashes, by the way, would stand for the fact that everything is going to be burned up, meaning everything is going to be destroyed. Yerubim himself, unfortunately, is going to come to an ignominious end. It says in Pasuk Dalet, yeah.
Before that, that he had to keep Yerubim with respect to the king. He wasn't a Malachi king, was he?
Yeah, he was.
There was
nothing. Achishmoni gave him the Mashiach. It just wasn't Shem and Mishcha. Wasn't Shem and Mishcha yet. It was Shem and Aparsimo, Dachia. That was supposed to be the Aparsenemi, he used the oil. But he did definitely have Aparsenemi oil. He was given oil. Yeah.
He's not from Yehuda, where it gives him like qualifications.
The pasuk does say Lo Yasur Shevet from Yehuda. The power will always belong to Yehuda, and it can't be removed from him. That's definitely true. Nonetheless, if Achia Shiloni was a Navi and came to Yerubim and said that Kadosh Baruch Hu was anointed you as king, remember, tore off the clothing, give those 12 pieces, 10 pieces over to Yerubim and said, these are going to be yours, you're going to get those parts of the kingdom, that's a nevuah. You can't go back on that nevuah. That nevuah allows him. Does he have the same status as a king of Yehuda? That's a great question. Is he allowed to marry more than 18 wives? Is he allowed to take more? Does all those wives, does he have to have a sacred Torah with them at all times? Those are good questions. That didn't really answer.
I was wondering how he could be king of Israel.
Okay, so let's go to Pasuk Dalet. Vayit Yishmor HaMelech Es Devar Ish Elohim. When the king heard the word of the man of God. Oh, please, go. When the king heard the word of God, the word of the man of God, meaning of Edo, Asher Karlam Yizbeth Beisel, that he had called out in the Mizbeth and Beisel, Vayishlach Yerubim Es Yadu, Yerubim sent out his hand Me'el and Yizbeth Leymor, like meaning he pulled his hand back, right? Leymor, Tifsu, grab him, he said about Edo. Vativash Yado, Asher Shalach Alod. His hand shriveled. His whole arm shriveled in front of all the people. Lo yachor oshiva, I love. He wasn't able to turn it back. He wasn't able to bring it back. They say that the shame of Hashem that you want to use in order to shrivel up someone's hand who's trying to hurt you is in this pasuk. If you concentrate on this pasuk, you'll be able to do it. That's the pasuk to be able to concentrate on. Asher shalach alod, but lo yachor oshiva, I love. That was the crazy part. As soon, notice this by the way. When he was bringing the korban on top of the mizbeach, he's trying to bring it on top of the mizbeach. At that point, his hand didn't shrivel up. He was about to burn the incense, right? But his hand didn't shrivel up. When he tried to hit the prophet, that's when his hand shrivels up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about his own. He's not Tova El Bono. He doesn't care about his own shame. But he's Tovea the El Bono of a Navi. If you're trying to say that about him, you're going to go again.
Directly his name anyway.
I'm sorry? Yeah, for sure, but it's indirect. Meaning, it's not about him in that case. It's about the Navi. And that he won't allow to happen. At that moment, the Mizbeach tore in half. The ashes spilled from the Mizbeach, like the sign that the man of God had said this was going to happen. Edo said this is going to happen. That's that. So the king said, he answered back and he said to the man of God, daven to the face of God, and daven for me. This is a man who is just about to serve incense on an idol, you know, toward his idols. Daven for me. Allow my hand to come back to me. So he did it. Edo davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The hand of the king went back to him, and it was as it was before. So that's the idea behind it. Now, Yerubim did not deserve to be forgiven. He had not really done tshuva, and he was completely unchanged. And that's what it says, kivari shona. He was just like he was before this whole thing had happened. The whole thing had not changed him whatsoever. And that's why he says, straight out, he says, daven el espenei Hashem Elohecha. Your God, not my God. Your God. So daven to him. What's up?
It doesn't even appear like he did tshuva anyways. He just asked him to do it.
He daven for him, and that's that. Yeah. And we see riots, espenei Hashem Elohecha. Right? And then afterward, kivari Shona. Those are the riots. He did not do tshuva. He did not deserve this apple. He's still a king. And if the king asks you to do something, the prophet could not refuse. He was not told to refuse that request. Hashem didn't tell him, don't do that. So therefore he said, okay, the king wants me to daven, I'll daven for him. So then the king spoke with the man of God, but notice, by the way, it's not by Yomer, it's by Yadaver. We know the difference between by Yadaver and by Yomer is what? It's harshly. He spoke to the Edo, Bo iti abaita, come with me to my house, usa'oda, and eat with me, and I will give you gifts. Okay? He totally put it out of his mind. He didn't want to think of anything. He wanted to figure out what was going to be and what this prophet knew and how he could get something in the future. What could he do with them? So, the man of God said to the king, even if you would give me half of your household, I would not go with you. I wouldn't eat bread, I can't drink water in this place. Why? Because this place is an Irin Idakas. It's a city that has to be destroyed. The whole city is Avodah Zarah, which means that essentially the Shechita is all trick. Any Shechita that you do here is considered trick. I can't be around here and I'm not allowed to be around. It says, Pasuk Tes, Ki Hein Sivo Sivid Var Hashem Lemor. This is commanded to me by the word of God saying, Lo Soch Alechem Lo Sishem Ayim Lo Sashem Adar Kishar Alokta. You can't eat bread. You can't drink water. You can't even go back on the same road you came. You got to go back on a different road out of the city. He went on a different road. He didn't go back on the road that he had come to Beis El. And that's the reason why he had to literally leave immediately. He had to get out as soon as he could because in Irani Dakas, he can't stay in the city where there's such a Avodah Zarah anymore. The Navi Echad Zoch. Yosef Bezel. There was an older Nabi that was living in Bezel. His son came and told him over everything that had happened, that the man of God, that Edo, had done in Bezel. The things that he had spoken to the king, and he told him over to his father. Listen, obviously, this was crazy. Like, oh my gosh, you'd never believe it. This Nabi came, and then he said that his hand, the Mizbeach was going to split, and it split, and Yerubbaal's hand got dried up, and then he davened, and then it went back. It was crazy stuff. He told it all. They told it all to their father. Now, who was this father? Who was this Nabi Echad Zoch?
So Micha.
There you go. The first opinion is, it was Micha. And the whole thing that he's about to do right now is all a ruse. It was a fake all the way through. At the end, Micha finally gets his first and only nevuah of his life.
What?
We're going to see. That's one. That's Micha. Micha, remember Pesel Micha? Micha's still alive, and that's why he calls him Zakan. Others say it was Amatsya, the priest, the Kohen of Beis Hale.
The same one from the Tre'el, sir?
Not that Micha. This is the Micha that was living Pesel Micha from before.
For Micha.
It's probably from a Gemara, but I don't remember where it comes from.
Wait, did you go in there? Is it quoted?
Yerushalmi Brachos. Yeah, Yerushalmi Brachos. I'm sure it was. The other one says that it was Amatsya, the priest of Beis Hale. He was a false prophet as well. That's that. Others say, okay, it was a false prophet, but we don't have an actual name.
Why?
Another answer. We're going
to
see, because what he does. That's three answers. The fourth answer is, it was a true prophet who lied. As we're going to see, he lied because he wanted to have Edo at his house. He's heard so much about Edo, he wanted to have Edo over for a meal. Okay, so this is what happened over here. So we're going to see, there's a lot of stuff over here. Right, so it says, their father said to them, which way did he go? Right, so his father, their father, the kids, you know, that came by, so they came, he said to them, so which way did he go? Where did Edo go? Now, Yeru Banav at the Darf, and they showed him the way. Asherah Hishol, him, that the man had gone. Asherah Bam Yehuda had come from Yehuda. By Yemar Banav, and he said to his kids, get my donkey ready. By Akhushalachamor, and they got his donkey ready. By Yerkam Alev, he rode on him. He went after the man of God, and he found him sitting underneath an oak tree. Now, why was he sitting underneath an oak tree? The pshat is that he was dead tired. He was told not to eat or drink anything in the city. The prophet Edo was an older man, and because he hadn't eaten or drunk anything, yeah, very close. Because he hadn't eaten anything all day long, and it was a hot day, right? And he was sitting there. He was starving and thirsty, but he was not told to eat or drink. So he sat underneath the tree, right, resting to be able to go the rest of his way. He just couldn't get it the rest of the way. Only in Divrei Yamim, I believe. I don't think we're going to see him anywhere else. So he saw him. Are you the man of God that has come from Yehuda? Right there, Edo should have realized this man is not an Abi. That's what he should have realized. Because he asked him, are you the man of God? If he truly was sent to bring Edo back with him, he should have known, you are the man of God. He shouldn't have asked him as a question. But Yomar Ani, he said, I am. But Yomar Love, Leith Etiya Baisav Echolachem. Come with me to my house and eat bread.
Speaking.
Which one?
Not
if you're an Abi.
No, don't we see that in other places that kind of like God will kind of ask a question like things to, where's your brother? Like,
I hear that when it comes to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it's for the person to tshuva before he has to speak to him. That I definitely hear. When we have situations like this, usually Elisha says to Gehazi, I know where you were. You know, that's it. And when Elisha goes to Isha Shunami, I know why you came, or whatever it is. There are certain situations. What? Yeah, but then he gives him a muscle for Dovin Melech to paskin on his own. That's what he was doing, and that might have been the nevuah for him to do. Usually the Navi has a message. He's not asking, are you somebody like that? That was supposed to be for the message itself. So he said, Ba'akul Lechem. He said, sit right over there. Okay, that is that. Okay. Number one, the first chat that we have over here is that this guy was a total Russia, right? Total Russia, wanted to mislead him on purpose, right? And in the end, wanted to see him suffer his punishment. I mean, he was going to tell Edo to come back with him to eat. And even though Edo was told by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, do not eat in the city, nonetheless, Edo said, what's the problem? I mean, this guy is a Navi just like me, right? Since he's a Navi, he probably got a Nebuah for me to come with him.
Strange to assume that God's going back on himself.
So you can do that, although you're right, it is strange to be able to do that, but you can do that. Some say he was a real prophet, as we said before, right? If he was a real prophet, it could be he made a mistake. He understood that it was, you know, this guy was suffering, that Ida was suffering, so he thought, it's a harmless lie. What's the big deal with eating by my house? Surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean from the not eat at my house. I'm kosher. Nayoma, lo ukal la shuvitach, said Ido, I'm not able to go back with you. Love, are we talking to come with you? Lo ukal lachem, I can't eat bread. Lo ashe yitchan, I can't drink with you. Mayim, l'makom hazeh. Ki dabar elad devar Hashem, I have the word of God. Lo sokal lachem, lo sish Hashem, mayim, lo sash avu lachas bedarach asher alach tabo. Don't eat bread, don't drink water, don't go back in the road that you came. That's what I heard. Vayoma lo gamani navi, kamocha. I am also a navi like you, said this man, probably an ich. O malach dibar elad devar Hashem, and an angel spoke to me in the word of God, Lamor, saying, Hashibayu yitchal obey. Bring them back with you to your house, right? And eat bread and drink water. He lied to him. Completely lied. He's not telling him the truth. There was nothing true about what he was saying, but he did it. As we said, either because he really had good intentions, or because he was a complete Russia and was gone. Now there's no question Ido violated his own prophecy. When Ido said, this is what happened, he was around there. He thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowed to take something back when it's something bad. Maybe the city has done tshuva. Maybe they all did tshuva. Because I just came, miracles. And they just saw the miracles. Maybe everything's good now, and maybe things are okay. Maybe I'm allowed to have this happen. Maybe that's that. His chait was accepting the man's word without investigating if he really was a true prophet. He was tired and hungry and thirsty, so he accepted it as it was without looking into it before finding out if it really was there. Therefore, he was punished. They were sitting there, sitting at the table. There was a word of God to the prophet that had called them back. In other words, this prophet, the false prophet or the real prophet who had messed up so badly, he immediately got a nevuah while sitting at the table. If it was Micha, it was the only nevuah Micha ever had. And he called out to the man of God that came from Yudah, saying, so says God, because you have embittered the word of God, because you didn't keep the command that God had commanded you, because you returned and you ate bread and you drink water in a place where God said you don't do so. Your body will never be brought back to the keper of your fathers. You, Ido, will never be able to be brought back and be buried together. How is he just granted prophecy? No one has any idea of the schutz of Achnas Zorchim. You don't realize how great the mitzvah of Achnas Zorchim is.
When this man thought,
I know it's unbelievable, isn't it? But the man thought that he was saving Ido, because Ido looked like he was dying, hungry and thirsty and whatever it was. He thought that he was dying. That mitzvah of Achnas Zorchim was mezakeh him to be able to have prophecy, because his thoughts and intentions were pure in that area. What it was referring to. That was that. He knew that the sign was there, and that's that. It was a big thing over here. Nobody could see Ido dying. Because if they saw Ido dying, then what would they think?
The prophecy was no good.
The one that he just said to your uncle. So this could not be done in public. It had to be done in a private manner, in a different way, that people would not be able to see it done. Okay, some say, right, it was the same Navi. The Navi, Ido, who had gotten the original prophecy, he got the prophecy over here. In the middle of the meal, he was told, you're now going to die, because you didn't listen. But it doesn't seem that way from the pasuk. Okay, pasuk chav gimel.
Why would we say that if it starts off with saying he's the old prophet, why would we say that he's a false prophet? It sounds like, it seems to imply, why would it call him?
Because of what he did. Simply put, look what he did. He lied.
Okay, why would the Navi tell us
that he's a Navi?
Yeah.
He may have thought he was a Navi, but we see that later on as well. Tzidkia ben Kenana was also a Navi Shekhar. We'll see you soon. But Tzidkia ben Kenana was also a Navi Shekhar. That happened by him as well.
That refers to him as a Navi?
As a Navi. So we'll see that word being used. Okay. Navi is sort of like a throw around word, sort of like Kohen. Why do we call him a Kohen if it was a Kohen for a Bama? You know what I'm saying? Why would it be that way? But we have that name thrown around. After they finished eating, I guess he figured, like, I might as well finish eating. He finished eating and drinking. He saddled the donkey for the Navi that he had brought back. He went, and a lion found him on the road by Miseo and he killed him. His corpse was thrown upon the road. The donkey stood right next to it. And the lion stood next to the nevela. The Aryeh was not eating it, and the donkey was not scared of the lion. That's the power that was going on here. Now, why a lion?
Seems to represent the state of Israel.
State of Yehuda.
Yehuda.
It was because he went against, I guess you could say, the symbol of Yehuda. Had he been killed by an ox, what would people have said?
Yosef.
Oh, so he went up against the kingdom of Yosef. But here they could say that he had rebelled or he had done something against Yehuda by eating in the town or doing something in the town. It could be the lion killed him and didn't eat him to show that it was a miracle. That the Navi still deserved a miracle even though he did something wrong. So even if people did see it, if they would start to say, oh, it's because you went up against Yerubbaal, they would say, then why wasn't he eaten? Why wouldn't he have been eaten? That's that. The only thing was that he couldn't be buried back home. There were people that walked by. They saw the corpse that was thrown on the road. That's Aryeh Omedet Itzol and Avela. They saw the lion. They came back and told in the city where the Navi, the Zaking Navi was. They said, like, there's a crazy body out there with a lion around it and a donkey right next to it. And the lion is not eating any part of the man. And the Navi had heard, the one that had brought him back from the road. He must be the man of God, who had embittered the word of God, and God had given him over to the lion, and he broke him and he killed him, just like the word of God that he had told him. He said to his son, saying, keep saddling his donkey, saddle me my donkey. And they saddled it. He found his corpse sitting in the road. The Aryeh had still not eaten the nevela, and he had still not done anything to the donkey. The Navi carried the corpse of the man of God. Now, remember, this was an old man, this Navi. So it's a little strange that he was able to carry the body of Ido HaNavi. And he put him on the donkey. When he brought him back, he brought him back to the city of this Navi HaZaken in order to give him a hested and to be kover him. So it could be that at this point he did tshuva. Whoever this guy was, now he became a tzad. He repented over what he had done, and he wanted to bury him. He buried him in a kever, and then he mourned him. And he said, woe, my brothers. So after he buried him, he said to his sons, when I die, I want you to bury me in the same burial place as this man. By his bones, I want you to put my bones. I want to be buried right next to him. Why was he deserving of that? Could be it's because he got me to do tshuva. Maybe that was the reason why. But it seems a very strange thing to do.
This whole episode is just
unbelievable, isn't it? You do one of it? Because the thing that he called out in the name of Hashem on the Mizbeach, that everything that he had said about the cities of Shomron, what's going to happen, it will be, he told his sons. It's going to happen. And therefore, I want you to bury me next to him because I feel like he's an unbelievable tzaddik. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. After this thing, Yerubbaal did not go back from his evil ways. He kept putting more people as priests of the Bamos. Whoever he wanted could be consecrated and could be the Kohen for these Bamos. Oh, you want to do it? Go ahead. Go ahead. Mihi Kohane Bamos. They automatically were Kohanim of the Bamos. So that's that. The famous line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yerubbaal in a dream and said, do tshuva, and me, you, and Ben Yishai will walk together in Gan Eden. We'll be matayel together in Gan Eden. So Rashi in this week's parsha, by the way. So what do you have him say? You have him come back and said, who's first? Me or David? So Hashem said, David will be first. So Rabbim said, I don't want it. Yosef cannot be second. Yosef has got to be on top. He said, I don't want it. I'm not going to take it. So he wouldn't do tshuva. Imagine that. Unbelievable, right? You know what the craziest thing is? Originally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, go back, he said, go do tshuva, and me, you, and Ben Yishai will walk together in Gan Eden. So originally, Yeravam was first. But because Yeravam asked, he became last.
So something interesting that I heard is that he understood originally he's first, but he wants to see the Zodin go in.
I say it again. Right, hard to understand. Hard to understand Yeravam sometimes. This thing became a sin for the house of Yeravam. It wiped them out and destroyed them from the face of the earth. Now, what is this thing? Possibly his arrogance. Possibly his sins with the ego azar. Possibly his inability to do truth. We don't know exactly what that hate was, but one of those three things was something that was bad for him for the rest of his life. Parak Yud Dalit. At that time, Abiyah, son of Yeravam, became sick. Now, Abiyah was the oldest son of Yeravam. This was going to be an act of mercy over here. Obviously, God could have abandoned Yeravam completely, as if, I don't care about Yeravam anymore, and not do anything to him whatsoever. Showing him that he's still with him was making somebody get sick so that Yeravam would do tshuva. All I'm asking you for is do tshuva. He would not abandon him. No matter what Yeravam did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to do it. Why Abiyah? Abiyah objected. He was the only tzaddik in Yeravam's household. Abiyah himself refused to act as a guard when Yeravam set up guards so that people wouldn't go to the Beis HaMikdash. And when Abiyah was a guard, he went himself to the Beis HaMikdash and convinced others to go with him. And because of that, Abiyah was a tzaddik who was on the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since Yeravam was unworthy of having such a son, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to kill Abiyah from Yeravam to show Yeravam how bad he was. However, it was a double intent. There's another thing to it. Can you imagine how Yeravam looked at it? Oh, Hashem's killing my only son that's from? He's killing my from kid. He's not killing my evil kid. He's killing my from kid. That shows me that my gods are correct. Whatever you want to understand, when you want to understand something like that, that's the way it's going to be. And that's the way. That's the way that he understands it. Fine. So,
How would you translate his name?
Abiyah? Father of God, yeah. That's what it sounds like. It might be desire. Ava is also to desire. So Abiyah may be a desirable person. That might be what it is. But Yeravam said to his wife, we don't know who his wife is, and it's unfortunate. Kumi na v'yishtachanis v'yishtanis v'lo yedu ki at eshes Yeravam. I want you to get up and change your clothing so that no one knows you're the wife of Yeravam. So I locked Shiloh. Go to Shiloh.
After that,
yeah. Yeah. We have it. Even the Kree is all over. You can't always tell what it is. Sometimes the Amalekites will give an answer for it. But we don't have the Masorah for it. But Balak to Shiloh. Go to Shiloh. In Isham Achia Navi, Achia Shiloni is going to be there. Who Dibra Alayla Melech Ala Amazeh? He told me to become king over this people, so to speak. Like, I have to blame him for it. He's the one that made me do everything that I just did over here. Melechach V'yadech Asar Lechem. Take in your hand 10 loaves of bread, minikudin, as well as biscuits, Mibak and a bottle of honey, who bust they love, go to him. He'll tell you what was going to be with the nar. Okay, first thing over here. He really should have brought a lot more money. He could afford it. He's the king. This is not a kingly gift. But he didn't want people thinking that this was Ashes Yeravam. So she didn't want to bring a huge gift, because then everybody would, it would be a dead giveaway. This is the wife of Yeravam. Now, why did he want to do that? So some say that he wanted to fool Achia Shiloni. He would go into Achia Shiloni and try to fool him into thinking that the woman would just say, please save my son. And Achia would say, what's the name of the son? Get the Refuah Shleima, say Ami Shaberach, and everything will be all good. That's what some say. That she should change for that reason. Others say, come on. Achia's not going to be fooled by a cop. Achia's enough. Achia's not going to do that. But he wanted to fool the people. Because if people thought that he was sending messages to Achia Shiloni, then what would they think? They would think, oh, so that's the real guy. And that's what people would think. He didn't want anyone to oppose the golden calves that he had made. So even when he was trying to do tshuva, he still messed up entirely. So that was that. Do you remember when we last had a present being given to a Navi for helping them?
Yeah.
Shalom. That's right. We had that. It's the only other time. We don't have very often where we see a present being given, but this is the minig. The minig is that when you go to visit a type of Rebbe, you give a little bit of a gift. It doesn't have to be big, but you bring a little bit of a gift for that Rebbe. That's the the meaning of what it is.
You ever done that?
Yeah. Whenever I go see somebody, I try to give a check. I leave a check for them. Not a tremendous amount of money, you know, can't afford it. So only a couple thousand dollars. You know, that's my level. That's my, you don't have to be the same. Matas Kane, Aisha Yerubim. I'm talking about Taylor Shiloh. So the wife Yerubim did that. She got up, she went to Shiloh. Notice, by the way, it does not say she changed. It does not say she changed, but we'll see later on that Achia looks at her and says, you didn't need to change. But Tavo Beit Achia.
Doesn't even say it's not Aisha's Aviyah. I mean, it's not. It doesn't say
Aviyah.
It just says his wife.
It's interesting. You know, maybe it wasn't the mother of Aviyah. Maybe it was a different wife. But Tavo Beit Achia. Achiyahu lo yachol aroso ki kamo ena misevo. She came to the house of Achia. Achiyahu, to tell you that he was a kadosh person, Yud Hei Vav in his name. He had become blind because he was so old. He wasn't able to see anybody become blind. Now, some say that it was because it says Achiyahu. What's that? Exactly. That's exactly it. Some say that the whole reason why we're saying that he's blind is so that she was trying to trick him, so to speak, and he wouldn't be tricked, and that shows that. But the pashpshat is that it wouldn't say Achiyahu. The pashat behind Achiyahu and what we're saying by Hashem's name is just like by Yitzchak. Yitzchak, when he went blind, was not able to see Gashmius. He was only shayach to Ruchnius. He could see the Neshama. Esav's Neshama was a very high Neshama. So he was able to see, and Yaakov's Neshama was also. So therefore he's able to see. He could only see spirituality, Ruchnius. He could see that sort of a thing. His eyes had gotten stopped from seeing the physical world. He was only seeing beyond the world itself. And that's what Achia Shalom was able to see as well. Couldn't see the woman, but he could see behind her. Hashem Omer Achiyahu, Hine, Eishes Yeravam Ba, Lidrosh Davar Mi'imach. So Hashem said to Achiyahu, behold, the wife of Yeravam is about to ask you something else, but not, it's about her son, Kicholu, because he's sick. Because that, this is what you say to her, Vihi Kibawa, Vihi Mishnakeira. And she came, and she will be disguised. Now it didn't say that she came disguised, but Hashem says, she will be disguised. Okay, that's the idea behind it. An answer as to why Achia became, his eyes went blind. So it's also similar to Yitzchak, because he had a Talmud that went off. Who was the Talmud of Achia Shilini that went off? Yerubim. Yerubim was his Talmud Rubim. And Achia Shiloni's Talmud went off. So because of that, this is what happened. By the way, as a side note, Achia Shiloni is in our Mesorah. He's part of our Mesorah going all the way through. Okay, his Rebbe was David HaMelech. His Talmud, his eventual Talmud, is going to be Yeshaya. So he was part of the entire Mesorah all the way through. Now, Yikishma Achiyahu is Kol Ragleha. When Achiyahu heard the noise of her feet, Baba Pata coming by the door, but Yomer, Boyesh Zerubim, come in, wife of Yerubim. Ramaz Da'atmi Sakira, why are you screaming? Why do you have a mask on? Ranoki Shaluach Elai Kosha. I have been sent to you with very hard news. Now, stop. As a side note, by the way, I don't know if Yerubim knew that he was blind. Because according to one opinion up above, they wanted to fool Yerubim. They wanted to fool Achia Shiloni. But why would changing her anything fool Achia Shiloni if he was blind? Could be nobody knew that. Either way, he said, Lechi Imri Yerubim, Ko Am Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Go tell Yerubim, so says God. Because I lifted you up from among the nation, I made you king over B'nai Yisrael. I took away the kingdom from the house of David, and I give it to you. But you have not been like my servant David, who did my mitzvos and went after me with all of his heart, to do only what was good in my eyes. That was David. You've done more evil than anybody before. You've gone and you've made for yourself other gods and molten idols, and you have thrown me behind your body and threw me back. I don't know if she was taking notes, by the way.
In Pasuk Zion it says, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, just to remind us.
Oh, that's a good call. Okay, so that's a good call. Pasuk Yod, Lechaini Ni Mevi Ra'al Beis Yerubim. Therefore, I am bringing evil to the house of Yerubim. V'yichlati L'Yerubim Mashkin Bekir. I am going to cut off from Yerubim anyone that urinates on the wall. and that's a reference to human beings, but in a very dirty fashion, saying any human being will be there. Some say it's referring to a dog, that not even a dog will be left. Nonetheless, it seems that Mashiach Bekir is a reference to human beings. Atzur v'azu, you will not have any property, you will not have any livestock left. You will have nothing left, be Yisrael. U'v'yartiach rebeis Yerubam kasher yivara galala tumo. I'm going to destroy the descendants of Yerubam like you destroy a grinding tooth until it's gone. Kasher yiva'er hagalal atumo. Does anybody recognize that pasuk from anywhere? Kasher yiva'er hagalal atumo. Yiva'er. So, in the beginning of Bava Kamma, there's, right, Shor, Bor, Mava, and Hever, right? So we have a kasha about what Mava and what Hever is referring to. Hever is referring to Ash, Mava is referring to Adam or Shane, depending according to the opinions that are mentioned over there. The grinding tooth destroyed, Yiva'er Hagalal Atumo, it's a reference to what's going to be right over there. That's the reference to what it is, and it's a question of how to translate the words. So here we go. Those that die of Yerubam's family in the city will be eaten by the dogs. I don't know how she remembered all this. But those who die in the fields will be eaten by the birds of the heavens. That is what God has spoken. You, get up and go to your house. When your feet come to the city, then your child will die. I have no idea why she went home. I don't know. That's like you have the answer in your hands right over there. Don't go home and your son won't die. I don't understand. I wouldn't have gone. The Saptu will call Yisrael, and Yisrael will mourn him. The Kavros will not bury him. He's Zelevado Yavolu Yerubam al Kever. He is the only child of Yerubam's family that will go to the grave. Yan Nimsa Bo Davarto, because he has something good. Al Hashem lo Kisrael v'Eis Yerubam. Tu HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the house of Yerubam. As you said before, he allowed people to do Aliyah L'Rego, and he may have done Aliyah L'Rego himself. Yeah.
The only reason I think that she would go home is it ended up very nicely for her son. It sounds nice. So far, if he dies right now, great.
Oh, just tzaddik, you're saying right now.
That's
a good call. That's actually a very, very good call. Like, he's basically promising her that her son will get Olam Haba.
Yeah, it's like
good.
No guarantee otherwise. And then
very
also,
good, I like that, yeah.
He's sick. For all we know, this is kind of like, it's weird to say, like, it's one of those situations where you're just like, maybe it's just, he's being tortured right now, maybe it's better.
But like, he was going to Akia to get him saved. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe that.
He wasn't going to.
Or. You're saying, I know, because we'll kill him before he does anything evil? I don't know, because it doesn't seem like anybody was worried that he's going to do something evil. That doesn't seem, especially his mother wasn't worried about that. Yeah.
She could just flat out not believe
him. I don't know.
Hard to say. She came in and he's like, wife of Yerubam. I can't see anything, but I know you are.
They were Yerubam's instructions. It's not like she went because she wanted to go.
Right. That's weird to say, though, but I do hear you.
What is.
Yeah.
So she what?
Must have been somewhat evil. God made him.
He was good at one point. Said
before she
also could be she forced. He forced her.
Well, yeah.
Who forced her?
Forced her to be his wife.
God set him up as a king over Israel. Asher Yachris is based Yerubam, right? Who in the end will cut off the house of Yerubam? Zehayom, starting on this day, Umeh Gam Atah, and that is and that which is yet to come as well. In other words, don't worry, there will be a child of Yerubam that's going to be king as well. It's going to be really bad. It's going to be really bad. Now here is the curse of Achya Shiloni, which is famously compared in Brachos to the curse of Bilam. God will be hit the way a reed is hit in the water. B'nei Yisrael will be cut off from this good land, Hazos, Asher Nassal Abosam, that he had given to their fathers, the Zerah Me'evil Anar, and he will scatter them to the other side of the river. Yanish also has Asherim Achiz Hashem, because they have made Asherah trees, which anger God. B'nei Yisrael, B'glal Chatos, Yerubam, Asher Chotav, Asher Echtis Yisrael. He will bring over Bnei Yisrael because of the sins of Yerubim, who sinned and made others sin as well. So therefore, he cursed them as a kana. Bilam cursed them as an eretz. Really, Bilam blessed them as an eretz. The Gemara tells us the curse of Achya was greater than the bracha of Bilam. Because here it goes. A kana stays in water. It has many roots that go all the way around. So when it's sitting there and the wind tries to blow it around, it won't. It goes with the wind. It goes this way, goes that way, whatever it is. That wherever Bnei Yisrael go, they go with the wind of their times, but they are never uprooted completely from the swamp. The kana will remain forever. The kana will remain as is. A cedarwood, on the other hand, is very strong, but it doesn't have as many roots. Mostly, it's able to stay where it is, but if a big wind comes by, the whole tree gets knocked down. Said Bilam, I bless you to be like an eretz. At some point, you could be knocked down, and you could be blown away. Achya Shiloni cursed them to be like a kana. You might blow in the wind, but in the end, you'll always be able to remain, you'll always be connected.
Can be uprooted then.
It depends on the roots. If we are talking about a big root, look, you can see this all the time. You can have hurricane winds, but you'll see these reeds just flying in the wind all over the place. They're not picked up at all. They're reed fields during a hurricane or a tornado. It wouldn't be a hurricane, but during a tornado. And some of the weed fields, the things will stay there. They'll stay in place because they'll go with the wind. They'll fly wherever the wind wants, but they won't be able to be lifted up from the ground, as opposed to trees can be knocked down. That's the difference. That's the difference between them. 17. Right? So when Yerubim got up, she went to Tirza. She came to the doorstep of the house, and the child died. I don't know. Maybe she went to another city. She didn't go back to Shechem, maybe. She went to Tirza. Maybe she purposely went somewhere else. But the Navi meant, whenever you go home, that's when the child will die. So they buried him. Just like Achiyo Anavi said would happen. All the other words of what happened to Yerubim, the way he waged war, and how he was king, they are written in the Sefer Divrei Hayom L'Malchus Yisrael. We no longer have that book. Divrei Hayom L'Malchus Yisrael ceased to exist. We no longer have it. The days that King Yerubim was 22 years. He slept with his fathers. And Nadav, his son, became king after him. So now Nadav is the second king of Israel.
It's a big
strange line, right?
But
and you got to remember, though, who his father was. Who was his father? Yerubim ben Nevat. Nevat Beitaina was Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva ben Bichri was the guy who argued with Shlomo HaMelech. He was the one who went up against Shlomo HaMelech and David HaMelech, and he was killed by David. He was the one sent out of the city. So it could be Vayishka Mavosa means he's with his fathers in Gehenna. Maybe that's what it refers to. Urechava Mishom, we do know, and there is a Gemara that says Yerubim had no chelik in Olam Haba.
Right.
Urechava ben Shlomo Melech Yehuda ben Arba'im Ba'achas Shana. Urechava, the son of Shlomo, was king in Yehuda. He became king when he was 41 years old. Remember, Shlomo died when he was 52. If Rechavim was 41 at the time, that means that he had Rechavim as a kid when Shlomo Melech was 11. Very hard to understand. But again, if Shlomo was 11 when he had Rechavim, Rechavim was 41 when he became king. Rechavim the Malchus was Shvat Reshanim of Yerushalayim. He was king for 17 years in Yerushalayim, which means that Yerubim outlasted Rechavim. This is the city that Hashem chose to put his name in. The name of his mother was Naam Amonis. Why we mention that over here? Because unfortunately, Naam Amonis helped make him the person that he is. In Divrei Hayom, we go through all of his wives and his concubines. He had 18 wives, 60 concubines. He had 28 sons, 60 daughters. Impressive, right? Pazukhav Beis. Vayat Yehuda Rabi Hashem. Yehuda started doing evil in the eyes of Hashem. Vayikanu Oso Mikol Asher Asu Avosam. They made him jealous, or made him upset. Everything they had done, Avosam Mechatzosam Asher Chatzahu, through their sins that he had done. Vayivnu Gam Heimalahem Bumos. They also made Bumos. Matzevos and Matzevos Vasherim. I'll call Giva Gavol on every high hill. Vatasas Kolitz Ranan and under every shady tree. Vigam Kadish Hayyav Aretz. There were also prostitution in the land. Also Kekola to Avos Agayim. They made like all the abominations of the other nations. Jehoshaphat, some of Bnei Yisrael that God had driven out from Bnei Yisrael. They had idols, they had zonas. It was a terrible time. It was in Pasuk Chafei, Vayiv Hashana Chamish L'Melech Rechavam, in the fifth year when King Rechavam was king, Allah Shishak, Melech Mitzrayim Yerushalayim, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came upon Yerushalayim. Vayikach his Otsos Beis Hashem, he took all the treasuries of the Beis HaMikdash, Vayikach Otsos Beis HaMelech, and the treasuries of the house of the king, Vayikach, he took everything. Vayikach his Kol Migini Azov Asher Asa Shlomo, he took all the gold, the golden shields that Shlomo Melech had made. Kasha, which guy this was, we talked about that a little bit before. It's a little bit of a problem. Some say that at this time he took the throne of Rechavam. Remember the throne of Shlomo HaMelech that he had made? Paro took this as well. Shishak, who was Paro, took this throne for himself and became lame, and from then on was known as Paro Necho. Vayach Melech Rechavam Tachtom Migini Nechoshes. Instead of having gold, he now had copper shields. Vidkid al Yad Sari al Rotsim Hashom and Pesach Beis Man. He gave them to the officers of the runners who guarded the house of the king. Every time he would go to the Beis HaMikdash, he saw him arotim v'ashivim atah arotim. They would carry them and they would return them to the room of the runners. Pasuk Chaf Tes over here. Yesterday, Divrei Rechavam Chosher, also Elohim Ksuvim on Sefer Divrei Yom LeMalchut Yehuda. Everything Rechavam did, everything he was accomplished, it's written in Sefer Divrei Yom LeMalchut Yehuda, and we have that. That's Divrei Yomim. Umilchama ha'isa ben Rechavam ben Yerubim kol ha'yamim. There was a war between Rechavam and Yerubim all the days of their life. Although they didn't fight in the beginning, they fought in the end. In the end, Rechavam and Yerubim did fight against each other. Yishkap Rechavam Mavosav. Rechavam slept at his father's, but Yikavir and Mavosav, he was buried together with Shlomo and David, Beir David. V'shem imo nava amonit. Vayim lo chaviyam benot azav. And that's why. Because everything he did was because of that. And Aviyam, his son, took his place, and Aviyam is going to be the next king of Bnei Yisrael. I'm sorry?
Same name.
Aviyah. So it's a little bit different. But by the way, that's not the king of Israel. The king of Israel that was set up was, what's his name? Was Nadav. Nadav, but Aviyah and Aviyah. 100%.